Welcome to episode 3.14159265358973238463846 of Joe and Gord's Totally Awesome OSINT podcast stream, etc. For those of you guessing, that was the beginning numbers of pi, as this is being recorded on March 14th. Our guest today is the wonderful Tony Hunt. Tony is with Operation Safe Escape, which those of you who have been around the Ascension ecosystem for any period of time, you're already aware, you already know, I'm a big fan of Operation Safe Escape. I stand behind what they do. I support them. They've supported the Ascension. We've kind of been joined at the hip for some time, and we're just starting to branch out and grow and do wonderful things. So with that being said, welcome, Tony. How's it going?
It's going wonderful. How are you, Joe?
I cannot complain. We had some pretty good banter kicking everything off, so that definitely made for a good day.
Right on.
And the weather's a bit cold here today, so it makes for a good day to wear a hoodie. But to formally introduce Tony, he's Deputy Director of Operation Safe Escape, has basically been involved in hacking, InfoSec, security for a long time. He's a big fan of entrepreneurship and has a consultancy dealing with security architecture and compliance. Basically, he likes to help companies transcend technology and security boundaries. He has two other loves, one of which is coffee, which that happens to be my blood type, and also helping survivors escape dangerous situations of violence, stalking, abuse, and trafficking. So with that, he also reads about 20 to 30 books per year and loves everything surrounding Battletech and Mech Warrior.
Yes, that's so true.
With that being said, I'm going to stop the screen share so that we get just to the video portion. Out of curiosity, of those 20 or 30 books you read a year, have you read this one yet?
No, it's on the list. It's actually on the shelf in the kitchen.
Hey, sounds good.
Which is to read next. It's this stack of books that are coming up.
Behind my green screen, I have a bookshelf that's very similar. Unfortunately, I've realized that I struggle a lot with reading physical books now. So I'm trying to move into the whole e-reader ecosystem via the apps on the computer and the phone and other devices. It makes it a little bit easier. And I'm actually working on a way that I could find a hack to actually get the Bionic font for Bionic Reader into Kindle, but I've not figured it out without installing some sketchy software on the system. So
yeah, that's one machine you don't want to mess with the sketchy stuff on, because once it's open, it's wide open.
Yeah. And giving access to my Amazon could be disaster. Yeah,
that's the big one. That's the big part.
I used to think that someone compromising, say, my Facebook or Google account would be the end of the world. Honestly, I think as things have grown, I honestly think that it would probably be my Amazon. That would probably
be where you shop. It's where all the personal data is.
Yeah.
It's literally what you eat in the morning.
Right. And depending on the level of access, like I've bought things and shipped to my mom's house. I've bought things and shipped to other people's houses. I have bought things when I've been on vacation and had it shipped to a locker. It has a lot of the payment card information. If they were smart about it, they would notice that I have an Amazon author account. So then they could go in and basically create an ebook of nothing but making fart noises and destroy my reputation that way. So there's a lot of different vectors that could be taken with that particular attack. So good way to get everyone thinking dangerously, so to speak, in the beginning. So in your own words, so tell us a little bit more about yourself and tell us what's on your mind today.
Today was pretty laid back. I didn't have to deal with any breaches, which is always amazing. That makes for a really great day if I'm not having to repair a breach. Past that, I roasted coffee this morning, and that's the normal day. Usually what I'm about is trying to get some time in with friends. I wake up in the morning and I'm already living and breathing coffee. So the other stuff is just coming back. I usually like road tripping all the time, like on the weekends. That's just starting to get back in gear. COVID really took me out. So it's actually taken me longer than normal to get back into that groove where I actually can go out and have fun. But past that, I read. I take pictures of really nice landscapes while I'm reading. That's what the road trips are for. I like glamping. I'm not a big hardcore camper where I don't think I should use any modern tools. I think that's silly. It's good to know how. It's not fun to do it all the time. But that's it in a nutshell. I used to ride a motorcycle. I haven't ridden since before COVID. I don't think I'll probably ride again. But that's about it. That's about all that's going on. Most of my spare time goes into Operation Safe Escape.
Awesome. So I'm going to ask you a controversial coffee question first.
I'm good at those.
Starbucks or Dunkin'?
Dunkin' by miles.
Sorry, that's the end of this episode.
Well, I have some pretty strong feelings about this. About 10 years ago, Starbucks literally tried to trademark coffee in Ethiopia. And as part of all this process, they also bought about 30% of the coffee farms in Ethiopia. And since they felt that they owned the place, they also changed the water table and subsequently almost destroyed about 30% of the entire coffee crop in Ethiopia. Now, this is old news. This happened a long time ago, but it was a very shining example of a company that was placing profit over what's already kind of an endangered crop. Coffee is not doing good. And between fighting blight and fighting the climate, you know, we may not have coffee in 10, 20 years if it gets bad. And I don't feel like they were helping. The other part is the reason I like Dunkin' is their original bean is actually a really decent bean. Whereas Starbucks uses a cheap bean and just makes sure that they're roasting it really well. The bean that Dunkin' uses is actually pretty cool. It usually is very consistent and it gives a good cup of coffee and it's caffeinated.
It doesn't
cost $8 a cup.
There is definitely that. Where I live, people love to laugh at that $6 coffee. But to that point, realistically, what occurs in my opinion with that is like with Starbucks, they're, you can't throw a rock without hitting one. So they're getting market domination there. There are fewer Dunkins in the area. And honestly, I've just not been able to find the hack for what I prefer at Duncan. If I took the time, I probably could. I'm very rarely in the proximity of a Duncan.
Right. And that's actually, that can be a regional factor. Duncan is choosier about their markets. Starbucks literally will put, they're aggressive about where they put their coffee shops too. So we'll always see more Starbucks than we will Dunkin' or Tim Horton or any other decent coffee shop that has, you know, thousands of places.
And honestly, the, Tim Hortons, I remember when I was stationed in Connecticut, it was Tim Hortons bought Best Eaten right around that time. And I just thought it was the funniest thing driving by Best Eaten to yell Best Eaten every time I drove by. But in terms of Tim Horton, no, never had it. I probably should try that, but we know how that goes. I got another.
It's a staple.
Question. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Another coffee question for you. Colombian or Kona?
Ooh, okay. I'm going to get a little bit technical with you on this because they are both great coffees. All right, let's start off with that. We'll start with Kona. All right, Kona is what I would call a super premium. It is not in a price range that's with any of normal coffees unless it's a blend, and a lot very, very thin blend. If you're paying less than $30 a pound for Kona, it's not 100%. I guarantee you it's not. By the same token, Colombia is a range of coffees that is the most drank coffee in the world. It is the most used. And the reason it is that is because it's far cheaper to produce than most of the super premiums. And it has a very full, attractive taste for that price range. And so it's the most used coffee in every blend. Well, not every blend, obviously. Some don't use it at all. But the bottom line is it's a staple. So much so that a lot of people consider the Colombian taste profile as part of coffee, not part of Colombian. A lot of people will come to that. You'll notice that there's a ton of the bigger coffee brands, bigger than Starbucks, the stuff that we see like mass produced in grocery stores. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, a lot of what they have is Colombian. People like it for a good reason. In my coffee sales, Colombian is by far the most sold bean. And I have both Kona and Colombian. Now, not as many people buy Kona because the real stuff is expensive.
Yeah. And with Kona, honestly, when I was in the Navy, I was stationed in Hawaii. So I was exposed to Kona that way. Like, I know the good Kona, like when you drink it, there are really strong hints of chocolate to it. As opposed to it just being kind of like the bitter swill that the Navy would give us. So I definitely appreciate Kona for that. But, you know, honestly, when I traveled to Bogota, Colombia back in 2019 to give training, Ed Rojas put on, it was a one-off training. I did a day and a half of social engineering training there. And the coffee, I was puzzled because, you know, as Americans, we drink coffee that the cups are like this big. And their cups were like slightly bigger than shot glasses. And I was like, okay. Yep. So I'm sitting here like pop, 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 pop. And then I started hearing things through my nose, so to speak, because the caffeine is all at once. So yeah. But
you got some good stuff.
It was. Yeah. And the thing is, it wasn't overly bitter. It had a good flavor to it. And Ed's like, you might want to slow down with that. I was like, oh no, caffeine's my blood type. And then I was that day years old when I learned, but yeah, it was really good because honestly, a lot of why I go with the Starbucks persuasion with what I figured out the hack, is because I like coffee. I like the effects of coffee. I just hate the taste of bitter coffee. And I don't like my coffee super hot. So I'll be honest. This is what I order at Starbucks. Skinny vanilla latte. So it's sugar-free. I'm diabetic. With heavy cream instead of milk. Yet again, diabetic. At kid's temperature.
Right on. So that
way I can put it down a little bit faster. Because honestly, to me, coffee I can appreciate a good coffee, but oftentimes when I'm drinking coffee similar to alcohol, more for effect than flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how can I ingest this the fastest?
The funny thing is that there's no right or wrong way to do coffee. That's a marketing thing. Everybody's going to say, you know, I've got the best coffee in the world for them. They probably do. Everyone has different tastes. I swear. I mean, every single one of my clients likes coffee for a different reason, and they like different coffee in different ways. And it was kind of a learning experience when you realize when you're selling it that literally nobody's really, they like what they want, and you know, they narrow it down. And I have some people that drink some pretty obscure, like I have people that really love Papua New Guinea coffee, Guam decaf. And these, yeah, some people do the decaf. They really want to avoid the caffeine.
I get it.
You know what? I just saw somebody just ask, Tony, did you ever try the coffee that gets eaten and pooped out by a civet? Yes, I've had Kopi Luwak. It is decent, but I do not think it's worth $100 a pound. Not for my coffee experience. I don't require it.
That's one of those things, kind of like harkening back to my Navy days, traveling to Japan and experience habu sake for the first time, which is the sake that's got the venomous snake in the bottom of it, and supposedly the venom, you know, affects you. So it's kind of one of those theatrical things of, this is what I want, blah blah.
I have not had that sake before. I probably never will try it.
I will tell you,
because the thought of getting near venom just scares the hell out of me.
I had two shots of it that night. That's all I had. And I turned in at midnight and I was still feeling rough at 8 p.m. the next day. Like I had to wear sunglasses at night because the street lamps on base hurt my head. It was like a freight train. We've also got some questions about Turkish and Cuban coffee as well.
Turkish coffee is more how it's prepared than the coffee bean. Most of the coffee is imported, to my knowledge, in Turkey. The process is, a lot of people don't find it, they don't like the texture of the coffee because it's very grainy. It is ground to such a fine powder that is actually in the coffee that you're drinking, and you can feel that texture. Tasty? What's that?
At that rate, wouldn't it just be easier to snort it?
You could eat it like a soup, but yeah. But you know what? It actually does taste good. And if you're used to the texture, a lot of people won't go away from it. They stick with the Turkish method all day. The Turkish coffee itself, we're talking about preference. I've seen so many different coffees that are preferred in a Turkish presentation that there isn't one bean that's associated with it at all. I actually did some research on it because I have a resale agreement with Oka, which makes the best automatic Turkish coffee maker you can get. And sure enough, it's whatever the preference of the bean is for the individual. It's not a specific line. It's all Arabica, of course, but that's about it.
So Turkish coffee, what you're saying is, it's kind of, it's equating, like talking about beef, it could be a specific species of cow, but you've got the Wagyu and the Kobe method by which you could raise it and feed it, massage it, all of that stuff, that Turkish is less of the bean and more of the method.
I would say Turkish is the chef.
Hmm.
In this case.
Got it.
The Wagyu would be the guys who raise coffee at, you know, 5,000 feet altitude. That raising coffee at that altitude is a little bit problematic, and that's why it's usually more expensive. That's where you get some of the like Jamaican blue and stuff like that. They're all made at a higher elevation. Let's see. What was the other one besides Turkish coffee? What was the other question? Oh, Cuban. It is good. It's I put it almost right alongside Puerto Rican coffee. So their taste is a little bit different, but all of those coffees, the Caribbean coffees, they like have a monopoly on the baseline of being amazing coffee. Like the coffees that are raised there, for some reason, they almost always taste great. They have a flavor profile that you don't find in some of the more common altitudes and coffees all over the world. There's their micro farms. They cost, some of that coffee costs 10 pounds a pound, 10 bucks a pound before it's cooked. So by the time it makes it to you, it's 20, 30 bucks a pound easy. It's almost the price of Kona.
Wow.
Yeah.
Final coffee question. What are your thoughts on something like, say, Death Wish?
The first bag of Death Wish that I ever got, and I'm sorry, Death Wish, but the first bag of Death Wish I ever got, it tasted and smelled horrible. And, you know, that's just me. I know I have a lot of friends that like it. They love it. But I didn't enjoy the first two bags that I got. I actually gave them the benefit of the doubt, and I got a second bag because I thought maybe I got a bad batch. It was actually the way it was prepared. And I love dark coffee. I don't like close to burned beans. And that's what I got. But as far as caffeination goes, they are a great method to get there.
Yep. I made a batch of, I called it Death Proof. So it was Death Wish. And then I did the whole bulletproof method with the MCT oil, the coconut oil, the butter. And then I threw some protein powder in it as a creamer. That was pretty tolerable. That went down pretty good.
You know, a lot of people don't know, or they kind of shy away from butter and the coconut oil in preparation. And it actually, it changes the entire flavor profile. It's actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
I do it occasionally too. I actually just got through testing out a coffee with a local chef where we were using something that drew out a similar flavor profile, and I love it. It was we stumbled onto something amazing, and we're actually going to have that market this year.
Sweet.
If you are interested in on-demand training, check out the Ascension Academy. We currently have three courses available. You can bundle all three of those courses or two of those courses. We have replays of webinars as well as a lot of free content. Visit academy.theascension.com. If you're interested in purchasing courses from the Ascension, you can do so in a variety of ways. The easiest way is the Ascension store, which is at theascension.com/courses/store. You can purchase bundles, individual courses, and placeholders here. If you would like a custom bundle, please email bundles@theascension.com for custom bundles or questions. If you'd like to bundle these courses, we offer this in a payment plan, and as a one-time payment, there are the links to take care of that. You can follow us on Twitch osint.mobi/twitch is the redirect. osint.mobi/youtube is the YouTube redirect. And also, we maintain a couple of communities. On Discord, we maintain the Ascension Discord, which is osint.mobi/discord. And we are also members of osintelligence on LinkedIn, which you can join via osint.mobi/osintelligence. There are the links to my social media as well as the Ascensions. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like this video, comment, share, subscribe, and hit that notification bell.